Hi, thank you for joining us on X-Ray FM. My name is Katrina Nguyen, and today I will be continuing a small series following the international work of the Australian-based organization Collective Shout. Collective Shout leads international grassroots campaigns against the objectification of women and sexualization of girls, especially in media, advertising, and popular culture, with many substantial wins across multiple sectors. The group's vision is to see a world where objectification of women and sexualization of girls is unthinkable. Today, I have Renee Chopping with me, a campaign strategist for Collective Shout. Renee is an advocate of children's rights through her trauma rehabilitation work with survivors of sexual exploitation and human trafficking. With over 10 years of experience working across South and Southeast Asia and a background in social work and psychology, Renee has since expanded her efforts to include teaching and presenting on matters relating to online safety, media literacy, sexuality, and mental health. Renee's passion and life's work is dedicated to equipping individuals with the tools necessary to live with increased resilience amidst today's hypersexualized culture. Thanks for joining me today, Renee. So before we dive into the discussion today, I think it is important to educate listeners on some of the basic terminology central to Collective Shout's vision and mission. Can you help listeners understand how Collective Shout defines objectification and sexualization?
So when we talk about objectification, we're talking about reducing a person to their body or their body parts. And this disproportionately affects women and girls who are treated as though our primary value is our sexual appeal or usefulness to others. It's the idea that a woman's body exists to be looked at, judged, consumed, or used. And sexualization goes a step further. It happens when sexual meaning is imposed on someone or when a person's worth becomes linked to how sexually attractive they are. It's not a harmless way of seeing people, right? There's a substantial body of research showing that sexual objectification is associated with poorer body image, increased self-objectification, greater acceptance of sexist attitudes and greater tolerance of violence against women. And research is also showing us that the repeated objectification and sexualization of women and girls leads both women and men to have a diminished view of women's competence, morality, and humanity. At Collective Shout, we often quote Jean Kilbourne. And when she talks about objectification, she says that when someone is treated as a thing rather than a human being, it becomes easier to justify mistreating them. So we're always coming back to the message that women and girls don't exist in pieces. We're whole human beings with agency, talents, ambitions, and inherent worth. And objectification strips that humanity away and reduces us to bodies to be judged and consumed.
Okay, thank you. And to clarify, can you help people understand the difference between sexuality and sexualization?
Yeah, so sexuality isn't about someone's identity or who they're partnered with. It's about how they're treated. Yeah, so there is a distinction between the two. Sexuality is about who we're engaging with and how we identify, but sexualization is what is happening to us and how we are being treated and looked at by the outside world.
I find it inspiring that Collective Shout aims for a world where objectification and sexualization is not just reduced or eliminated, but that it becomes unthinkable. I think that's a really powerful and lofty aspiration. So today we're going to focus on a pretty big victory Collective Shout had against Andrew Tate and Spotify, and then go into some current online educational media and materials that aggressively go against Collective Shout's vision. So, Renee, for listeners who don't know much about Andrew Tate, can you briefly paint a picture of who this character is? Then tell us about the material of his that your team found on Spotify.
Sure. So Andrew Tate is a misogynist influencer. He's also an accused sex trafficker. He built his empire by recruiting women into webcam pornography. So he would do this under the pretense of a romantic relationship, manipulating victims into trusting him, only to later force or coerce them into sexual exploitation. His brand is private jets, the luxury cars, the cigars, the expensive watches, the whole look how powerful I am performance. And underneath all of this is the message that women are possessions, that men should be in control, that a man's worth is measured by his ability to dominate others. He's openly described women as property, argued that men should have authority over women, and brags about the tactics he's used to convince women to enter the pornography industry. He treats their exploitation as a sign of his entrepreneurial genius. Tate also, this is linked to what we found on Spotify, he's also created a subscription platform called Hustlers University. So this is where young men are paid a monthly fee to learn his methods for making money through things like cryptocurrency, e-commerce, and online business. And at one point, it reportedly attracted hundreds and thousands of subscribers, most of them being young men and boys. And another danger to this, aside from the grooming of young men and boys, was the affiliate system attached to it. So members could earn commissions by recruiting other people into the program, creating what many described as a pyramid scheme or like a multi-level marketing style model. So those members were encouraged to flood social media with clips of Tate, often his most outrageous and misogynistic statements. Because as we know, controversy generates views, views generate followers, and followers generated profits, or in his case, more subscriptions, which equaled profits. It created an army of unpaid or low-paid marketers whose job was essentially to make Andrew Tate impossible to escape online. So this affiliate strategy was a major driver of his sudden dominance on TikTok and other social media platforms. And this included Spotify. So courses that were available through Hustlers University, which is now called The War Room, included things, courses like so-called educational courses, including a PhD course, so that was a pimping hose degree course, OnlyFans fortunes, and how to make money in the webcamming industry. So these were the three courses that came onto our radar because they included tips on how to manipulate and coerce women and establish dominance and control over them. They were essentially step-by-step guides for wannabe pimps on how to manipulate and control women for profit. And in these courses, he also offered consulting services. This is to help get subscribers set up and to produce promotional videos in order to recruit women. So essentially, these courses incited violence and abuse against women, and that was our basis for calling on Spotify to remove this content. Not only is it harmful to women and girls and also to young boys and men, but it was also in direct breach of Spotify's own community guidelines.
Yeah, it's pretty sad because, you know, so many of us have been bombarded with a lot of, you know, popular culture and like rap lyrics, for example, you know, about hoes and pimping. And so I think we've become really desensitized to what this actually means. But the material that Andrew Tate has was definitely harmful because it was teaching like psychological techniques to kind of coerce and manipulate. Isn't that right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So when was this that you learned of this material? And I'm interested to learn about your campaign. And I know that the public responded pretty strongly to this campaign. So if you just want to give us kind of a little bit of a timeline and tell us kind of what followed after you Collective Shout decided to take this on and take it down, basically.
Yeah, it was early last year that we came across this content. And don't quote me exactly on this, but I think it was a month or 2 months maybe that the campaign was running for. It did get a lot of attention. So more than 155,000 people from around the world signed the petition. We set up a petition calling on Spotify to remove the courses. Over 155,000 people signed it. It received global media attention. So this media attention and the thousands of signatures put enormous public pressure on the company, and that led to the removal of these courses on Spotify. And actually shortly afterwards, because we found the same material on SoundCloud, shortly after that win, SoundCloud also removed these courses from the platform. So it was a double win for us. and a powerful reminder that these companies aren't untouchable. You know, they rely on public trust and their reputation matters. So when enough people speak out and demand accountability, even some of the largest tech companies in the world can be forced to take action.
So earlier you said that, you know, having this content up was a breach of Spotify's mm-hmm. own rules. I'm kind of curious what those rules were.
Yeah, so it's listed in their community guidelines to not have any sexually explicit content, which I mean, Spotify is continuously in breach of. No content that is directly inciting violence against other people, which this content absolutely did. So we were constantly calling out Spotify's inconsistencies and allowing this content to remain up.
So how long did it take for Spotify to respond, and what was their response? I mean, did they issue an apology? What did they do to Andrew Tate? Did they just take it off? Or, you know, I'm just kind of curious about, you know, what that victory was like.
Yeah, I mean, we would have loved to have had a response from Spotify. I mean, as soon as the media got involved, they were forced to comment, and their comments were pretty vague in that they'd say, you know, we have community guidelines that we adhere to and we oppose anything that incites violence against women and girls. So they were constantly being put under the microscope for continuing to host this content. So it really was that media attention that pushed this over the line, because they were being held accountable. People were showing them constantly that they were in breach. Initially, it was silence. You know, we wouldn't hear from them. One course would be taken down, but then the others remained. And so that just encouraged us to push even harder. We could see that something was happening, but we weren't fully across the line of what we had asked them to do. So while we didn't get an official statement from them, they did eventually just pull all of the courses, and we go back and check periodically to make sure that they've stayed off, and they have, which is good to see.
Well, I'm really grateful for your work getting this harmful and damaging material off the internet. Definitely a huge win for women and girls, but equally a win for boys and young men who have a hard enough time as it is navigating healthy masculinity and sexuality. So thank you. But so sadly, the work is not completely done. You know, earlier this year, I and many others learned of the so-called viral rape academy that CNN covered, which highlighted online forums where mostly married men were instructing others how to drug their wives unconscious in order to record them being raped and sexually abused to then share and sell those videos. Collective Shout has started a campaign against this. Renee, what can you tell people who know nothing about this? I believe the website is called motherless.com. Is that right?
That's right. So in March this year, CNN exposed private groups on Telegram where men gathered to swap tips on drugging and sexually assaulting their unconscious wives and girlfriends on camera. And that expose cited porn site motherless.com, as you've said. So this is noted as home to more than 20,000 videos of so-called sleep rape content uploaded by users with hundreds of thousands of views. The site, which features a range of pornographic content, describes itself as a moral-free file host where anything legal is hosted forever. And according to CNN's investigation, it had 62 million visits in February alone. So following BBC's investigation, Motherless went offline, saying it needed time to remove violating content and to ensure only material that complied with its rules remained. It publicly stated that it was carrying out a cleanup of the site. But within a week, the website was back online. And so our own investigations after its return found that the problems hadn't disappeared. We've documented content, including users discussing sexual acts they wanted to carry out on young girls, spy cam and upskirting image-based abuse material, content that eroticizes the sexual assault of unconscious women remains on the platform. We've also found links directing users to other pornography platforms, including AI pornography creation site, allowing users to create and monetize teen, incest, and abuse themed characters. So we're not asking for better moderation of this website. We're calling for it to be taken down permanently and for its owners and operators to be held accountable.
It sounds like what you just said, that you're trying to get the owners and the operators of the website to take it down. How is the progress so far? Do you have, I can't remember if I signed a campaign where you have people getting involved, but do you have a public action for people to get involved? I'm just kind of curious how you guys are going about the actions of, you know, taking down this website and the people responsible for it.
Yeah, so we have a call to action, which is a really easy email action button that supporters can use. It takes 2 minutes to send an email. And this email is going to pulling down the infrastructure of companies supporting Motherless. So that's including hosting providers, domain and privacy services, and companies like Google that help direct traffic to the site. We're calling on them to cease providing services to Motherless permanently. So we've had hundreds of people send emails already that are going to all of these companies, calling on them to pull their support for the website, because without that, there is no website.
So any response yet, or still working on it? How's it going?
Still working on it, still chipping away. We've had a response from one of the service providers, but nothing substantial, nothing to say that they're actually taking any measures to cut services yet. So the more people we can get sending these emails and putting pressure on these companies, the more we'll start to see the needle move on this.
Okay. Well, listeners, if you want to get involved, at the end of the segment, we'll give you the website that you can go to if you want to send an email. So Renee, two survivors of motherless.com, you know, the unconscious wives or girlfriends, two of them have started their own initiative called End Eye Check. What can you tell us about this, especially the name?
Yeah, so Zoe Watts and Amanda Stanhope, they've created this organization, and End Eye Check, it's a new rape survivor-led campaign founded by these two women who have experienced drug-facilitated rape themselves, so they were featured in the CNN investigation. So this organization that they've created is to push for stronger protections of survivor drug-facilitated sexual abuse and image-based sexual abuse. And they're also creating greater public awareness of how these crimes were enabled online. Zoe chose the name End Eye Check to disrupt the online communities built around so-called sleep porn. So she says that when these men type in eye check on their computer, this survivor-led organization is going to appear in the search results. So instead of leading men deeper into abuse forums, the term eye check now leads them to survivors speaking out.
I understand what eye check means, but I'm pretty sure 99% of listeners have no idea what we're talking about. So I think it's probably it's probably a good idea to explain what this even means, to understand how, like, the importance of this name and why they want this to come up when, you know, people are searching eye check.
Sure. So eye check is referring to when men are lifting the eyelids of the women that they have drugged to ensure that they're properly unconscious before sexually assaulting them.
So it's pretty disgusting, obviously, but, yeah. You know, these women are, you know, they're trying to hack the system somehow by, you know, like, okay, someone's going to search for this and maybe someone will see this survivor initiative and, you know, hopefully be put down the right path. So, you know, we've covered a lot of material today. Thank you. I'm just kind of curious. You know, I know you have these campaigns that you put on at Collective Shout, which are amazing. You know, we look to you for leadership on this. But for listeners who want to get involved with solutions against harmful and degrading educational materials, what kind of general advice can you offer them?
First, I would say don't underestimate your influence. These companies are very good at making themselves seem untouchable, like they're these giant machines that ordinary people can't possibly challenge. But they have one major weakness. They care about their reputation and their bottom line. So we've seen that time and time again, Spotify didn't remove Andrew Tate's courses because they suddenly had a change of heart. They removed them after more than 155,000 people around the world said, we don't want our subscriptions funding this. Companies listen when enough people make the cost of ignoring an issue higher than the cost of fixing it. So my first piece of advice would be speak up, you know, sign the petition, send the email, contact companies directly, leave reviews, share information with your friends and family. A 2-minute action multiplied by thousands of people becomes incredibly powerful. And secondly, don't look away. One of the reasons these industries thrive is because they rely on people being uncomfortable, thinking, you know, I don't want to know about that. That's too much. And I understand. I totally understand that reaction. I spend my days looking into these issues. And sometimes, you know, I wish I could replace my internet history with pictures of puppies and kittens. But if we look away, the companies profiting from this content get to operate without scrutiny. So we need to hold them accountable. And finally, I would encourage everyone to have conversations with the young people in your life. You know, many of these harmful messages don't arrive with a flashing warning sign saying, hello, I'm misogyny. They come wrapped in messages of empowerment and success. So we need to help our young people develop those critical thinking skills to ask, who is benefiting me from believing this? Who's making money from my insecurity? And does this message help me become a more respectful, empathetic, and healthy person? The goal is never to fearmonger, but to push back enough to help others recognize that when someone is trying to manipulate or exploit them.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. This work is really hard. And sometimes I feel like, yeah, people might think I'm fear-mongering or something, but you know, many of us who have seen firsthand or even experienced firsthand some of these kind of gross issues, you know that we have to educate others and we have to make some changes. And I really like how Collective Shout is approaching this. I think you guys are doing a great job. And so how can people get involved if they want to support your campaigns?
Well, firstly, thank you for supporting our work and for your words of encouragement. That really means a lot. The best thing that people can do is visit collectiveshout.org, sign up for our emails, follow us on social media. We're across all of them. We make it really easy to take action. So as I said before, it can take as little as sending a 2-minute email while you're waiting for your copy. We keep winning these massive campaigns because companies suddenly wake up one morning and decide to do the right thing. It's because enough people make it harder for them to keep doing the wrong thing. So the easiest thing to do after hearing this is jumping onto our website and taking a look at our current campaigns and following us across our socials.
Okay. And again, that's collectiveshout.org, right?
That's right.
And do you have any personal websites that you want to plug for your own work?
I'm across all of the socials as well, and it's just Renee Chopping. I'm pretty easy to find. I've got a pretty memorable last name. Okay. So yes, definitely encourage anyone listening to follow me on socials as well.
Okay, sounds good. Well, thank you so much, Renee, and thank you for everyone who's listening. I'll be continuing this series next month, speaking to the director of Collective Shout about artificial intelligence and how it's intersecting with the world of sexual exploitation. Talk to you then.